It's time for the Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the third season of the Two Ramblers podcast, the number one most entertaining podcast in the Atlantic 10, as voted by no one. I'm the host with the jokes, Dauber, from the class of 1994, and as always, we want to welcome in our co-host, the analyst with the attention to detail from the class of 1998, Sammy D.
What up, Dauber? I do stand to correct you. There were two people that voted in that poll, and that was you and I. So
with two first place votes.
Two place votes, yes.
The Two Ramblers podcast.
Yes. So excited to be here. Another season of Ramblers basketball.
And another season of two old guys who were inspired by Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer to do a fake radio show. I see that you're wearing the Bears sweatshirt, though.
So I am wearing my Bears
sweatshirt. You're representing the Bears today after another painful game. All of our hopes that Tyson Bagent would be the guy were
not the case.
A little of the air was let out of that balloon today, which was painful. So, but this isn't the what's that other podcast called?
I don't know. Where I'm excited for the Ramblers, excited for what this new season brings, and so I love to.
Did you hear me? You just cut me off.
I did because I don't want to talk about other podcasts. I want to talk about this. Two Ramblers podcast, okay. Number one in the A10.
All right, we're not going to talk about other podcasts. I guess Sammy D's cutting me off. Okay, here we go. So let's get into it. Let's get into this. This is a preseason show. We know a lot of people. All eyes are on the Ramblers this week in Rambler Nation, and we're looking forward to the tip off of the Barstool Sports Invitational at the Wintrust Arena. Dave Portnoy, I guess, maybe he's going to be calling the game, a color commentator or something. It's on something called Barstool Sports TV. I don't know if that's something I can watch on the internet. I'm a little confused about this, but what have you heard anything about it?
Other than that, yeah, I mean, all of what you said, it still is like kind of confusing as where it will be televised. I wonder if... Yeah, I have no idea. I'll be interested come Wednesday when I'm looking at, 6 o'clock Central or 7 o'clock Eastern, where the game's going to be and how I can watch the game. Cause these are two teams that in the last, 10 plus years are two, Cinderella stories, to make it to the Final Four. And, FAU came out of nowhere last year, to win or to go to the Final Four. And so, and this team, unlike what the Ramblers did in their Final Four season the year after, they kind of had a setback because they had a lot of guys graduate. This team returns a lot of their players. They're now ranked number 10 in the nation. So they're primed to go make another run. And so this is a really litmus test for Loyola. Like, where are we at moving into the season? So this is a big game, a big, big game.
Yeah, I've seen them ranked anywhere from 10 to 19. And then in the other 25 poll, the kind of mid-major poll, they're number one. So it's kind of interesting. Right. It'll be interesting to see where we stack up. And one hopeful Rambler fan on Twitter, and this is kind of funny, was saying, well, one good thing is they've been playing together so long, all their plays are on tape. A lot of their sets and stuff are on tape, and all our guys are kind of new, and we got new pieces, so no one knows what we can do. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of hopefully optimistic. I mean, I think even if you had it on tape, what they were going to do, they're still pretty good, and so you got to still defend them, and you still got to figure out ways to get around them and stuff. So I don't know if that's going to be an advantage to us, the fact that no one knows what a a Dez Watson combination with Patrick Muamba is going to be. I mean, I don't know if that's
striking fear. In the hearts of our opponents.
The Greg Dolan, Miles Rubin connection. I mean, I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see.
So we've always talked about that we like as our podcast to have content, and the content is actual basketball being played. And so we've had some experiences in the last month or two. We've had a practice. We've also had an exhibition game against Trinity College. So Dauber, you were at both of those events. What did you see? What were some things? What were some takeaways? And we'll jump off the podcast from there.
Yeah. Well, shout out to, the ticket office, the Loyola Ramblers for hooking me up into the practice. They greenlighted me to come to the practice, that was open for season ticket holders. And I'm not officially a season ticket holder this year, although I have a lot of tickets for games this year. They let me in, which was great. And then, shout out to, I think it's Bo Rambler on Twitter, B-O,
yes,
with a parentheses B. So I think it's Bob. I think that I'm not sure who it is, but Bob Rambler or Bo Rambler, thank you for gifting me your seats to the exhibition game, which was great to get into that. So I've now been the recipient of two generous Rambler fans. And I appreciate that. I actually was saying that this season I'm going to try something new. I can't go all to all the games because of my job. Right. And so buying a season ticket, I was going to eat some tickets this year, and it didn't make sense for me. So I bought seven games in conference games, in the seven ticket package or whatever. And then for the non-con games that I can go to, I don't have tickets. So if guys have tickets to some of these games like Goshen or I'm trying to think who else we're playing, Harvard, and you have an extra ticket, think of me. Twitter me on DM. I don't know. How do the kids say it? DM me.
DM me.
DM me on X or Twitter or whatever.
I don't know what this DM thing, but that sounds exciting.
Yeah. Go ahead and slip into the Dauber DMs. but yeah, so I'll be looking for some seats. I'm probably going to buy a couple games here and there, but I know after watching Twitter the last couple of years, people always have a seat or sometimes couple seats for some of these early games. So that's kind of what I'm hoping, that I can actually be a little bit of a vagabond around the Gentil Center this year and sit in different seats.
Wait, a vagabond? More like a rambler. Hello.
Yeah, that's what a guy at Bruno's said to me. I said, yeah, I'm kind of a vagabond this year. He goes, a vagabond? How about a rambler?
Yes.
Pat from section 204, I think, said that. So anyway,
shout out to Pat.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's enough about me.
Yes. So from the games, what did you see? What did you see from the game, from the practice?
All right. Well, the first thing I noticed about practice, and I posted this on Twitter X or whatever it's called, there's just some more length on the team, especially the new guys, Patrick Muamba, Dez Watson, and Dame Antetokounmpo. Is that how we say it?
No.
Okay, how do you say it?
I'm going to go with, I just had it up. Adelakun.
Yeah, Adelakun. Adelakun. I'm sorry. I should have looked at it before. I was just off the cuff.
Adelakun.
Adelakun.
Because we're going to hear that a lot.
Yeah, I haven't heard it called enough.
Help our man out. How do you pronounce that?
No, so I hadn't heard it. So when I see those three guys standing, they had all the new guys on one side and the old, the returning guys on the other side. And obviously our returning guys, we have some small guys. I mean, Braden's pretty small. We got Caleb Reese from Ferndale, Michigan. We got a couple other little smaller guys on that side. But when you put the new guys, when the new guys were lined up, including Miles Rubin, everyone looked taller and had large wingspans. So it kind of,
yes.
The thing we said last year is we didn't look like an Atlantic 10 team. We're starting to look a lot like an Atlantic 10 team. When you think about some of those guys we saw last year.
Just think of Dayton in particular. I mean,
Holmes. I was thinking about, is it Josh or Oduro? Oduro, who's not in the not in our league anymore, right?
Yeah, he transferred out.
Providence. He went to Providence or something.
Correct.
Yeah. So when I think about guys like that, those are the things that I was losing sleep last year thinking about. Is like, how do we match up against these guys? And so, so seeing these new guys, it really felt like, okay, these are the right kind of pieces that we need.
Right.
Even someone like Des Watson, while he's, let's see, what is he listed at here? I got the notes in front of me here.
6'5", 210.
He's listed as 6'5", but he has long arms. Like, he has long reach. He looks tall. So definitely. And he's listed as a guard, but at different points in the scrimmage, it didn't look like he was playing a guard spot. I don't know.
I think he may play the two or the three more than likely.
That's where an analyst with attention to detail will help me, because I'm not quite sure what the difference between a three guard set is and a situation where you have, because I definitely know what a point guard looks like, and I know what sort of the shooting guard looks like. So when I saw Dolan and Norris playing together, it was obvious that Dolan was bringing the ball up, point guard.
Yeah.
And, you know, Norris was going in the corner and, you know, setting up for shots and stuff. So he was definitely playing the two guard. But Des Watson was on the floor too. So was he playing a guard? Was it a three guard set? Or was he playing like a small forward? I'm not sure. But it looks like that's kind of the possible lineup that they're going to have starting. I think that's the starting lineup. Maybe with Des and possibly Miles Rubin or I don't know if Tom's going to get a start. And then who am I missing?
For the exhibition game that Des was did start. It was Des, Braden, Dolan,
Patrick
Miles, and Philip Alston starting five.
Duh, I forgot about Philip Alston. I mean, that's the good news about this team, and I think this is like the one thing that every time I think about this team, I start thinking about guys, and then I forget about a guy and go, oh, yeah, Philip Alston. How can I forget about him? Or even Ben Schwager is another example. It's like, you know, you start thinking about, oh, well, Des Watson, and you think about this guard and this guard, and then all of a sudden you go, wait a second, Ben Schwager's still on the team. You know, he's on the all-rookie team last year.
Yeah.
So you kind of have this sense of, like, they're deep. Like, when you start thinking about all these positions, they're deep at all these positions, it looks like.
Yeah, and that kind of it goes into my next topic, which was excited to see. It's just like, yeah, I think the depth is something that's huge. The length is encouraging. And I think just the something that I heard a lot, especially from the Atlantic 10 media days, and then even other comments from Drew over the last couple months, was they're getting back to an identity. I felt like last year, the thing that they were struggling so much each game to game was like, what are we doing? Are we a 3-point team? Are we a defensive team? Are we, you know, a slat? It was like there was never any consistency in identity. Whereas in the years prior to that, it was like, you know, it was lockdown D, you know, kick it in, kick it out for three. And it was just like, I think there's a testament to the adjustment to the A-10. It's like they're still trying to figure out how does this play? Whereas I feel like moving into this season, what you have seen in the limited things is like there is an identity. You know, they're going to play defense, they're going to shoot, and they have the length in order to defend as well as to get to the basket and then kick it back out.
Yeah, and what I saw in the preseason game, the exhibition game, was some lockdown defense, a lot of movement, a lot of switching guys. But then when they got the ball, whether it was from a missed basket or even a made basket, they were pushing the ball up the court really fast. Dolan was running the ball up very quickly. And so there's a lot of movement. And it reminded me a little bit of, you know, talk about getting back to an identity. You know, I've watched some of those 1963 documentaries. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of, wasn't that kind of their thing? Like, weren't they kind of run and gun? They would push the ball up every time, put pressure on the D. You know, there was one play in the exhibition that I'll call out. Miles Rubin gets a block. And let's say he gets a block somewhere in the paint. Now, I'm watching this from the game real time. I didn't see a replay. So, you know, he gets a block in the paint. He immediately sprints it. He blocks it, and it kind of blocks out to maybe Dolan or Norris, so to a wing. Miles Rubin sprints to the other basket, and they toss the ball down to him, and it's 2 points. Like, it's – and what was interesting was I was thinking – did Miles just get the block on that? Because it seemed like, you know, I followed the ball out to the wing, and then I see him scoring. I'm like, wait a second. He got the block on that play, and I didn't even see him sprint on the court. And he moves very well without the ball. He's very graceful running, kind of gazelle-like. So I think he's going to be a tough cover for some of these guys, especially if we have one of these beefy centers. They might be bodying him down low, but boy,
may not be able to get back down the other side.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like there's something that he can definitely add just from that point of view. But his speed was something I think is going to be good. And if he sticks with us, you know, the funny thing about the preseason was he said, I'm happy to. He said something like, you know, they put him on the microphone. He said, like, I'm happy to be here this season. And Drew said, this season? like, hey, like whoa, whoa, how about
for 4 years, you know, my career.
Yeah. But he seems real coachable. He seems real coachable. And, you know, I don't want to say, well, I don't know. I'll just say that I heard through the grapevine that the other brother doesn't have some of the same skills that Miles has, and so I remember being disappointed that he decommitted, but I think we've got a really coachable player, and so I'm excited about that. Now I don't know anything about him really, but I heard through the grapevine that. If we had to get one of them decommitted, we got the guy who fits us best. And so that's what I did see with these guys. They all seem to fit the culture really well. Every new guy just seemed to be all in, especially Des Watson. Yeah. Des Watson seems all in on Ramblers. And, you know, I saw his dad at the game the other day. The dad has this hat already. It's a Loyola Ramblers hat. And it says, and it has number zero. It has he's number zero. It has it stitched in.
He's zero. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I saw Des Watson's dad at both the scrimmage and the exhibition. So they're, you know, he seems all in, on this move. And I, you know, I was watching one of these national, podcasts about basketball, and, you know, this has kind of raised some eyebrows that Des Watson, who was a, you know, one of the good scorers in Davidson, six man kind of guy, went to essentially a rival. And
that was huge.
It said a lot. So I'm thinking what I heard maybe through the grapevine is that possibly there had been some recruiting of Des a couple years ago, because he came out of Ohio originally.
Columbus. Yeah.
So he might have been on the radar for Drew. You know, Drew might have even had some connection with them. So maybe it's not as big of a surprise that he jumped to Loyola, because, you know, a couple years ago they might have been in the mix to try to sign him. So, and I've heard that for, you know, Jacob Hudson, obviously, on day one of the portal, signs with UNI. Well, obviously there was a connection there, right?
Right.
That didn't happen by accident, that day one he's signing. So I think this is kind of probably the new portal movement stuff. Speaking of portal, and I know I'm talking a lot, But I'll tell you one other thing that was interesting. Next to Coach Drew on the bench, not in the scrimmage, but in the exhibition, was Will Bailey, the new coach
that we got
from St. Louis, who also had been on the UMass staff.
Yes.
And so I don't know if there's any seniority with where you sit or anything like that. I don't know how that works, but it definitely seemed like he's in the coach's ear. He's really integrated into the staff, and which is going to be a good thing. He was good at mentoring guards at St. Louis, and then he's a great recruiter, supposedly, and has a lot of connections with Chicago coaches. So that guy's a big improvement, which we might not see on the court in the sense of, like, you know, he's not a player, and people outside of Loyola might not know about this, but this could have a big impact on us. If there are some questions about Drew and his experience, now he has this very experienced guy sitting next to him, theoretically, who knows this league really well, and all the players and the coaches.
And I think another thing that is really exciting about his addition, as well as another coach, Justin Bradley, who came from Seattle, is I learned this when I was in graduate school, like, you know, be careful of the, you know, those that have their graduate degree from their undergraduate degree kind of place. And I say this with coaching, is like, be careful of the guy who's only coached at one or two places, because what I like about Drew is that he's coached at a few different places, and all of these coaches, Bradley as well as Bailey, they've coached at a myriad of locations. Now, that's just like different experiences and different places. And so I find that really fascinating, because it brings a richness to their coaching, because they've had different ways of how to go about it. And then Bailey, especially with his recent work at St. Louis, knows the league, you know, knows, you know, guards, which is something that, you know, we've always prided ourselves on, you know, with Loyola, but then brings us at A10, you know, knowledge much more than what we came into the league with last year. And so I think that's just, it's only can speak well of what Drew has put together, is not only from what's on the court, but also supporting those that are on the court.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right. So, Dauber, what are you excited to see this year? We've kind of already hit upon that a little bit, but what are you excited to see this year?
Well, it's a really small sample that I've seen so far, but if there was a couple things that I came out of the game just really excited to see was, how is this Greg Dolan going to fit in with what we're doing? Could he be Braden Norris to Braden Norris, essentially being the guy who brings up the ball to set up Braden Norris, versus Braden Norris having to shoulder the load last year? That was the thing that really stuck out to me, was his involvement. I mean, I'm excited about Miles Rubin to see what he's like. A real legitimate, you know, kind of 6'10 guy with a lot of upside. How's he going to fit in? And then there's, you know, there's guys too, like redshirt freshman Trey Lewis from last year. I mean, that there's a guy who has a lot of length. He has kind of freaky wingspan, actually. So talk about a guard, another guard who is 6'6", suppose taller than Dez Watson, actually. Now
has close to a 7-foot wingspan or something. Yeah, right. Something crazy.
Yeah. And he, you know, in the second half of this Trinity Christian game, he got to the rim like two or three times in a row. And three times in a row, I think, he got to the rim in this one, you know, series of possessions. So he's a guard who can shoot the outside shot and can get to the rim. Speaking of guys who get to the rim, I think it was Patrick Mwamba. He went up for a dunk and he just climbed the ladder. Like, he sprinted up the court and then he was just way above the rim at one point. And I was like, oh my gosh. So, and so these new guys are, I think, what am I looking for? I'm looking forward to seeing how they play together. And you know, it's just exciting to look at all these different guys. And I'm curious to see too, you know, what's the development of Philip Alston? Is there,
right.
Does he go to another, you know, does he go to another beast mode level? Cause he already got a lot of love this year, this past year.
Yeah. It was preseason A10.
What, all second team, I think, or something?
I think it was third team.
Okay.
I know I should know that.
No, I think it's second. I think he was second team. I mean, you could look it up, but we don't have to. Let's just say when people think about, I mean, he went to the media day, so he's definitely the...
Yeah, he is the guy.
He's the guy that people are looking at when they look at our team. So, you know, I think, and then I am curious, this is not what I'm looking forward to, but I am curious, where does Ben Schwager fit in the mix?
Right.
Has Ben Schwager really played, you know, exceeded admirably expectations last year? And so does he come back down to sort of a mean this year, or is there growth for him too? Does he find a place somehow? Is he going to be maybe the sixth man, you know, in this rotation that's really going to cause people trouble?
Yeah.
I mean, what if he comes in and catches fire on threes, you know, and it's like they feel like they shut down part of our offense or something. All of a sudden he comes in. I could see all sorts of situations where that might happen. So, you know,
What I find fascinating about this whole discussion about what are you excited to see is we have already said 12 guys.
I haven't even mentioned Quinn and Dawson yet.
I mean, yeah. Okay. Well, there's your 12. There's 11 and 12. It's like 12 potential guys who could see the floor. Whereas in years past, it's like 7, 8 guys. And so just like, what is that going to, because now there's length and there's depth. And there's not, you know, there's also some youth because, you know, you think about Jalen or, you know, JQ and Trey and even Schwager. It's like those guys are all sophomores. And so it's like, what does this look like, you know, not only for this year, but years to come? But like, yeah, 12 guys could potentially see the floor. And, you know, what is that rotation wise? What does that look like? So it's just like, I'm excited to see how this plays out. And if they do play 12 guys, cause that would really be interesting. Cause that was one thing that we noticed at the end of the last year was that, you know, Phil kind of ran down at the end, Braden, although would not admit it, he struggled, you know, playing the minutes that he did at the end. Whereas now, I mean, they're not going to be called on to play 38, you know, 40 minutes. And also in a role, I think that suits them better, individually. And so I'm excited to see how this plays out, just the depth and what that means for the team in moving forward.
Yeah. And in the Trinity Christian game, you know, a couple things that I saw were, first of all, we were smothering on defense. We were pushing the ball, but we went inside to kind of start the game. And that other team had some length. It wasn't a complete cupcake or anything. But we went inside. And probably the first 5 minutes of the game, maybe even 7 minutes of the game, we didn't take an outside shot. And so I could see us, you know, I could see us trying to set a tone with defense and interior play to open up, you know, to open up threes and stuff later, you know, like kind of establishing the run game to, you know, so you can get this play action. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's... I think sometimes when we're going to play some of these bigger A-10 teams, maybe that's not going to be possible. Maybe we're going to have to be more varied in how we attack. But still, it definitely looked... The speed looked faster than last year.
And that's what you want to see, especially because that's one thing that we harped on a number of games last year. It was like the speed. Like, we just looked like a tick slow, and it was evident in the score.
Yeah, we were telegraphing passes, and these long guards in the A-10 kept getting in the passing lanes. And it was like, So I think we've retooled to the point where I think we're going to have the right kinds of guys throwing passes and movement. That's going to be trouble for an A-10 that's going to look different than it did last year.
Right.
I I don't know enough about these teams. We haven't played them enough for me to be all in and know everybody on every team. I'm not one of these guys who watches games like by myself, you know, off, you know, that aren't, don't involve the Ramblers.
Right.
But you know, if you go team by team, some of the teams that really gave us trouble last year, some of the top of the league teams have lost some of their most prolific scorers.
Right.
So even teams that were lower level last year in the A-10 aren't going to be potentially as good as they were last year. And other teams might take a big drop. I mean, VCU looks a lot different. And there was another team that really seemed to take a step back. St. Louis lost a couple.
Yeah, they lost a lot.
Yeah. So like, you know, so I think it's going to be really interesting this year to see where we stack up.
So, I just, a couple questions, is who's your guy this year? You know, in years past, we circle a guy, like, this is the guy we root for. And so Dauber, you know, who's, you know, last year, we got, not only did you get Ben and Phil jerseys, but you know, who's your guy this year that you're like, this is my guy?
I don't know if anyone has taken, you know, my guy spot yet.
Okay.
I think if looking at this,
Okay. You know how they always do with the Heisman, they always do like a Heisman watch, like who's on the Heisman watch. So who's on the Dauber's guy watch?
Well,
like,
I can,
who's one or two guys?
Well, I can tell you a guy that's not going to be on the watch, Braden Norris. And it's not that he's not a great player, but you know me, I always like to root for the guy who maybe comes out of nowhere. So the Schweiger is more of a Dauber pick. Right. So I think just on the sample size that I've seen, I got to say Greg Dolan is pretty high on that list. He just had a motor and it was pretty exciting to see him. And actually these other two guys too, Watson and Mwamba too. So I got to say if anyone, kind of the leaders I would think would be in that category. But I wouldn't be surprised if a Jalen Quinn or a Jaden Dawson goes to another level and I all of a sudden become a big fan. I'll tell you, for the Bulls, for example, I did not really like Coby White when they picked him. But last year, he kind of won me over. And I just found myself rooting for Coby White. So I could see one of these guys, Trey Lewis, Jalen Quinn, Jaden Dawson, kind of winning me over, even Miles Rubin. Not like he's, I mean, he's got a lot of upside, but I could see the way he plays. I heard about him, the scouting report, he's a lunch bucket guy. Like he works really hard, real coachable. I love lunch bucket guys. So,
love guys that maybe put on a hard hat, use a hammer.
Well, we got real excited about Chris Knight a couple years ago. Why did we like him? Because he was kind of a lunch bucket guy. He was working really hard and got a lot of those close shots, a lot of those high percentage shots.
Yeah, putbacks,
And even, you know, even like a Tom Welch, while I'm he's probably not on the Heisman watch. Whenever he dunks or gets an amazing play, you kind of got to go, wow, Tom Welch has got some hops.
That's a great thought. I really felt bad for Tom last year because I felt like there was way too much put on him in the role that he was put in. Whereas now I feel like he can really thrive in the role that he's in, where he can be the second, the third five off the bench, where it's like, then he comes in for his 4 or 5 minutes and he's just high energy, get a thunderous dunk, you know, maybe a three. It's like, then it's like, you know, get a couple rebounds, a steal, get the crowd hyped, you know, be the towel guy from the bench. And it's like, that's the role that he thrives in. Whereas last year, I felt like he kind of put a little bit over, a little too much was expected from him.
Well, the exhibition game is a perfect example. There were a couple of plays where Manimal,
I need a little drop of that.
Where is the Manimal sample? Let's see if I got it here.
Yeah, it can't be dropping Manimal. There it is.
Well, there was a couple of times where Manimal was just maybe had a lot of energy and just kind of clanked it on the rim, like, you know, at close range. Mm-hmm. But there was one where Tom Welch came out of nowhere and cleaned it up. Yeah. And you could see if Manimal starts causing problems in the paint, you know, covering him. Here's the thing I would say about Manimal. Now, this is, again, a small sample size. Manimal, while he hit all of his shots weren't perfect, he had position all the time in the paint. Like his base in the paint, he looks
very large.
Yeah, his base was set every time. And so if you got a guy who's clogging up the middle and then balls are flying around, and a crafty veteran like Tom Welch can slip in and just lay a ball back up.
Yeah, once again, 4-for-4 the other night.
And,
so,
yeah. Yeah, and the same with someone like a Schweiger. If there's just a guy who can kind of, you know, get to the ball if it's gotten knocked out of the paint, and just can put it away, that'd be great. So I could see Welch doing that this year. But my guy, I would say Greg Dolan right now is one thing I'm just really interested in watching. Who's the guy on St. Louis last year?
The guard?
Yeah, the guard.
I'm totally blanking. Oh man,
this is how bad the Atlantic 10 we are.
I'm totally blanking.
I can totally picture.
I see his face, and I'm the Midtown Madness guys are yelling at us.
But, okay.
And
you think about it. Well, but you know, when I remember watching him, there was a game where he had like 20 assists last year. Now I'm not saying we're gonna have a guy who has 20 assists, but. But just thinking about, man, what would it be like if we had a guy who could get a lot of assists? And his passing looked great. His knowledge
of Yuri Collins.
Yeah. So definitely Dolan's probably the one to watch right now for me.
Yeah. I love that. And then again, and this, I think what the beauty of bringing a guy like that or more depth into the team is that then you allow guys to be in a role that they thrive in. And it just in that one sample size to that game, Braden, he's 3-for-4 from three, he had 9 assists. Like, that's crazy. But as you said, it's like, you know, Greg brought the ball up on a number of occasions, you know, more consistently. And so therefore afforded Braden to hit the corner, you know, look for a shot, you know, where it's like not all of the ball handling was on him. And so just if that's the case, I'm all for that, because that's how he thrived in the years prior, where you had other guys could bring the ball up and he could look for a shot.
And there was a lot of hockey assists in that game too.
Yeah.
There were times where Dolan got the ball up there so fast, then they moved the ball 2-3 times. And there were guys passing up open look shots for better shots.
Which is that in the years prior, that's where Loyola was really effective, you know? All right. So we talked about, you know, who's your guy? What are we looking for? What game are you excited for this year? What game or something that, you know, potentially a game, it's like, oh, this is, I'm really looking forward to this game.
Well, it's gotta be Dayton. I mean,
yeah,
that was the one game that I really wanted, and I didn't. It was the only game I couldn't get Section 209 for, which kind of annoyed me. But regardless, I'm happy to be at that game, and again, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best, and I feel like, at least from my mindset last year, that was the best team we saw. It was. I thought it was even better than VCU, and you know. So I just want to see where we stack up this year. So that's definitely number one.
That'd be one.
We don't have St. Joe's at home, right?
Right.
So we don't have that horrible Hawk coming back. That would probably be my second game if they were playing at home. But
No. We do play them at home.
We play St. Joe's at home? Okay, well, then there's the second one that I'm looking forward to, because I would just love nothing better than to score 100 points on them.
We do not. Oh, and we go to St. Joe's as well. So yeah, we play home and away.
I would love to beat them.
Yeah, that would be a good one. One I'm looking forward to, a couple road games: Richmond in January, VC. Or I'm sorry, that's we play them at home, but we'll play at VCU. That was the one I was looking for. It's a Tuesday night game. trying to go to that one, as well as there's the weekend in DC for Sammy D, potentially in February, where they're at George Mason and at George Washington. I don't know how I'm going to pull that one off, but yeah.
The Patriots and the Revolutionaries. Boy, that's a mouthful. Is Revolutionaries that much better than Colonials? I mean,
I don't know. It's like parson hairs. All right. So another thing that I thought was really fascinating in the lead up to this season is the Two Ramblers Twitter game is on point already. We worked out the rust, and I'm excited about the fact that I didn't know that Will Smythe was that popular, but after 20,000 views of his Eurostep, I'm pretty excited that he helped out the Two Ramblers podcast.
Well, shameless Twitter stuff here. I was shooting some stuff during the game. I got a tray. I got a nice Trey Lewis bucket on tape. I got a Miles tape that actually got on CBS or NBC Sports or whatever. But you know, I know people love Will Smythe. So, you know, whenever he got the ball, I was like, well, I might as well press record here. And he got the ball a couple times. I think one time he turned the ball over when I had it, or he missed a shot. But then when I saw him coming down the court with that, I go, well, let me get this. And you know, he had a great play at the end to finish it. My video wasn't that great because, you know, I was right behind the bench, and the bench kind of stood up, kind of blocking a little bit of the beauty of the Eurostep. But yet, you know, it was the only thing online for 24 hours before. Loyola had a great video of it, and they didn't post it for
It took them like
a day or
four
two
or 5 days. Really long.
Yeah. So,
You got the credit. You got the first one out there. And wow. 20,000 views. So,
well, shout out to Bo Rambler there, Bob Rambler, for hooking Rambler up those seats. That game, there was other places I could have moved, but I just decided, I'll stay in this seat. I'll see what this is like sitting in these seats. So,
okay. I got a question, and you can help out because you're knowledgeable. You are a dabber. Can you explain to me the AI Kermit thing? Because I somehow missed the boat on that, and so I find him fascinating. But like all of a sudden, I'm like all of these, you know, Kermit and the Muppets and AI and Atlantic 10 stuff, and I'm just like, what? Where did I miss something?
I don't know. I just saw like a lot of Atlantic 10 stuff, and me, I'm just, you know, trying to keep up with these kids, these hipsters. You know, I'm trying to like just, you know, not, you know, I know I'm an old guy. So I thought it'd be funny to try to get Kermit at Bruno's. That I just thought that would be a funny image. And
was good.
So I kept trying it with some different AI. The first AI I did, it was a really weird looking Kermit. And then I found Bing AI, actually the Microsoft AI, made almost a perfect Kermit sitting at a bar. And I said, you know, a tavern, a Chicago tavern, and they made it really pretty in the background, like an old men's club in the, you know, in the 30s. And so then I had to change it to Kermit at a dive bar in Chicago, and they cluttered it up a little bit.
Nice.
But yeah, no, I have no idea what that is. You know, these memes, I can't even follow sometimes what the origin is. And then someone posted a meme or something funny. And they said, well, the Rambler fans aren't going to know what this is about. It was something about...
like January 6th.
It was something about January 6th and VCU.
Right.
And the only thing I looked up was that on the January 6th insurrection day or whatever, I don't even know what we call that, but the attack on the Capitol, VCU played that night against George Washington. And they won. And so I don't know if a coach or somebody said something then, or there must be some Atlantic 10 something about January 6th and the VCU team. I don't know what it is.
Right.
But so anyway, there's all that stuff. I will say the Atlantic 10, the other podcasters and some of the other posters, I think are pretty funny. There's some funny people, the guys who do the LaSalle podcast, and There's a VCU guy who's pretty funny.
The only boys. Yeah.
Yeah. So I will say that it's much funnier than the whatever.
Or the Gola boys, the Gola boys. Yeah,
what's the other, what's the conference we just came out of? The Missouri Valley, the Valley wasn't very funny. I never laughed at anybody in the Valley, but these guys really are funny. I think there's so many of them. It's like, it feels like, you know, when Irish brothers are kind of ripping on each other, it's like a big family, like eight guys in the family. That's what I feel like the Atlantic 10's like. Yeah. It's a lot of these people who've known each other for years.
That's a good analogy.
And so, so you're kind of like, wow, these guys, you know, I don't know where we fit in the mix here, but boy, they're pretty funny. So.
All right. Closing up, bringing it home. What is at game experiences changing this year? It's just like, I noticed around the stadium, you know, you referenced this on Twitter, but just kind of feel like some things are different this year. So what's different as you went to the game the other day and practice?
Well, this is not different from last year. We're going to struggle with pregame destinations. The Bulldog Ale House has now become a place where they serve brunch. So unless we're going to go for brunch for these Saturday games,
mimosas,
you know,
doing it hardcore.
Yeah. So I we're going hard with mimosas. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, what's our pregame going to be, like Kesha songs and Cosmos? I mean, it just feels weird. So that's, shout out to Kesha though. I'm a big Kesha fan. That wasn't a slight. It's just, it doesn't it doesn't feel like Rambler game day.
Exactly.
But, so that's one kind of knock, you know, and I, you know, it was hard to get in that place anyway.
Right.
Then number two is the George Ireland pub. They started advertising online. I don't know why they're advertising this online, but they advertise it as the pregame and postgame
destination.
Right. And this is the student run pub that's in the basement of of Damon,
right? The student union, right?
It was kind of funny there. I think in the ad it said something like the only student run pub in the United States or something like that. I was like, wait a second, University of Chicago has had a student run pub for like 30 years or 40 years. So that's not true. But whatever, I get it. So, but the problem with the Ireland pub last year, and it looks like it's happening again this year, they have all these special events. And so you get to Damon and you don't know what the special event is. They don't update their website. They don't have a mailing list or anything. You just get there and there's just a closed for private party sign, which is a big kick in the...
Which that happened when we went the last time.
It's kind of like... Yeah, it's a big...
I wanted to see it, but it was closed for a private event.
Like, yeah. So, and I already found out that the first game of the year, Eastern Illinois, is a special event. Now, you can pay to go to it.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad deal. It's like $15 for some food and all you can drink beer for 2 hours. It's salute to service. So anyone can go to it, looks like, for $15, which isn't bad. But still, if you're a pregame destination, you got to be open. You can't be closed.
Right.
So that's one thing that's just a complete miss. There's just not a coordination. So we got, you know, the Bulldogs closed. Ireland can be closed some games. So then what does it leave? Bruno's? Well, then come to find out, the new pre and post game place to go to is Pork Chop, the old, what is it? What was the place growing up?
Hamilton's?
Yeah. Oh. At the old Hamilton site. Which, as we know, Hamilton's is not the most easy to get to. You got to cross Sheridan twice to get across it.
Right.
So it's not the easiest place to pop into. And it seems a little off to me. Now, I know it's a sponsor, so I don't want to say anything about, you know, I don't want to get in trouble with Loyola, but it's this restaurant with a barbecue theme. You know, kind of a high-end barbecue restaurant.
High-end barbecue, yeah.
So it it feels like a place you might go to dinner, but it doesn't feel like a place you'd get a quick beer at before a game. It doesn't also feel like a place that you would go to watch away games, even though I think they're going to show away games. So it doesn't quite feel like a sports bar kind of atmosphere. So we're still going to be struggling on game day. So for me, you know, we were kind of scrappy last year. We went to Moody's a couple times before games on Broadway. Yep. We also went to the Candlelight on Western.
And yeah, I just have to admit, what a great location. I love that. I love the spot. You know, where it's at is difficult to get to, but I always liked the Candlelight. So
yeah,
and well, Moody's is good.
Yeah, Candlelight. So, and then I heard that there's a new spot in, what was it called? It's not Mullins. It was called,
the Western?
No, not that one. There's a place on Tui in California that went out of business, but has a new McKellen's. There's a new place at McKellen's. So, you know, probably will, it'll be a combination of those things again this year. But boy, would it be great to have a food truck on campus? Would it be great to have maybe a little more of a game day setup? How about if Ireland Pub is closed? What about, is there a way that they could do a pop up bar like in the Damon Student Center? Like they have a Starbucks. Why couldn't you have like a game day beer situation? During the Jesuit jam last year, they gave away pizzas last year in the student union. So it's like that. It seems like that could be a cool place, and we're going to need it when it gets colder, because there's nothing worse than walking on Sheridan Road when it's 15 degrees.
Right.
So it would be great if that Damon Student Center could have a little more game day stuff. That's what I would say.
All right. And then to bring it home, two final questions. One is, what shoes are you repping this year? And then, we'll go with the shoes. What shoes are you repping?
Well, I'm going back to the, they're called the Arizona State Dunks, but I call them the Rambler Dunks. I'm wearing these again this year. I also, since last year, I mean, I think I talked about this in the podcast, I got the Lost and Found Jordan. So I think I'll bust out a Lost and Found Jordan game one of these times. Maybe a big game like Dayton or something. I'll have a Jordan fit. I don't know. I mean, I saw Coach Drew was wearing some Travis Scott golf shoes on the sidelines the other day. They just dropped at the beginning of the month of last month. So that was an interesting choice. I didn't know the bottoms of those shoes could be on a court.
Rubber. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of interesting. And then the coaches wearing Panda Dunks. So I'll be curious to see what they're wearing this year. There's been some interesting shoes that have been released. I told you this offline, I'm going to go to some women's games this year. So I am going to be interested in some of the shoes they might be wearing, because I don't know if you know this, but you know, there's some different versions of shoes for women. Sometimes they have their own unique colors and stuff. And Coach Drew, actually, this is kind of interesting. He was actually wearing a pair of women's sneakers at the event in New York, which I was surprised at, because they only go up to size 10 and a half. And I would have thought Drew would have had a bigger foot, unless he got some special edition in a colorway that isn't available for men normally. I don't know. Maybe he got special access to something from the future, but if not, he must have a size 10 and a half. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. So, we'll keep looking at it. People, I don't know if people like those posts, but I got really into sneakers last year, so I'm interested.
I feel like we need to keep this going, because we're the only ones that care about
it. And we know Drew Shoes doesn't post about it, so.
Right.
So, you know, we'll keep it going this year.
All right. So to bring it home, close it up, what's the expectations for this year? I know that I looked it up. A number of pundits, you know, put the Dayton, VCU, Loyola, Duquesne as kind of 1, 2, 3, 4, or and then 3 and 4 is usually, you know, and so I've seen 3 is the highest. I've seen 6 is the lowest as a where Loyola ends up. And so where do you think? I mean, what are your expectations for this year?
Well, let's talk about what I'd like to see that I think would be a great step forward this year. I'd love to be 500 or above in conference. That's number one. And
number one.
And the reason why that's important is I saw this conference last year. These guys were beating each other up. We only got right. one bid last year, and I don't think there's a team that's going to run away with this conference. I think it's going to be more the same this year. I think it's a lot of these teams are going to beat any given Sunday. An Atlantic 10 team can beat another Atlantic 10 team.
Yeah, I think it's another 14-6 wins it or some elaboration right. of that.
So I think we got to survive to thrive.
To thrive,
right? Yep. You know, we got to get through strategically. You know, maybe our bench helps us in February, grind out some wins. But that's what I would like to see, above 500 in conference. And then I'd like to see us, you know, get one of those, I don't know, fourth seed, fifth seeds, maybe get a game or two in Brooklyn this year. That would be my expectation this year. Could we go, you know, obviously we have a pedigree from the last few years of champion culture, so... You know, so could we do better? Yes. But do I want to do worse than that? No, I would like to really take that next step. I'd like to see us building an Atlantic 10 program that's going to be in the mix and going to be, and I'd like to see our home field advantage come back too.
Yeah, I feel like that was something that we lost last year.
One of the national podcasts I listened to, watched on YouTube this week said, yeah, it used to be you go to Chicago and you lose. Like our, you know, the Gentile was known as a place that you don't want to play on the road. And right. it wasn't that way last year. So it would be great to get back to that. So if we win all our home games and we lose our road games, I would take it. If we could reestablish yeah. that place that, hey, going to Chicago is not a cupcake and it's not going to be a fun trip to bring your wife and go shopping on Michigan Avenue with, like, you know, I saw a lot of some of these Atlantic 10 teams last year brought a lot of fans in because I think they wanted to visit Chicago.
Yeah, and Chicago trip, yeah.
Get the Chicago experience. I would like to make the Chicago experience as painful as possible.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, just I've always said this about Loyola. It's like I always wanted a team that no matter what night it was, when they stepped on the court, they had a chance to win. They may not win all of them, but it's just like, hey, they had a team. It's like, hey, every night they had a chance to win. And I like to, that's my expectation for this year. I feel like we're back to a team that's like, you know, coming out and even looking like, hey, this team consistently can play.
Recording in progress.
And so, that's what I want to see. I want to see where it's like every week, this is the team that we all were excited for. The other thing, the expectation for this year is I want to see an identity. Like, we're known for defense. I want to see that every week where it's like, yeah, we may not have our best shooting night, but they're not going to get over 50, you know, kind of nights. Those games were like the team at the half had less than 20 points, you know, those kind of games. It's like, I want to see more of those. Cause I know that when we had those, we had success as a team. And then the other thing that I, you know, we talked about earlier, it's like, you know, who's your guy? It's like, I want to see those young guys, you know, the Quinns and the Dawsons and the Lewis, like those three in particular, and even Schweiger, it's like, you know, really take a next step where it's like, you know, hey, they're a problem and they will be a problem for the next, you know, two to 3 years.
Yeah, that's one thing that would be worth looking at is like, what are we building? Because right. we're not going to have Patrick Mwamba next year.
Or Dolan.
We're not going to have Dolan. We're not going to have Norris. We're not going to have Tom. Phil?
Yeah, he's a senior.
Oh, okay. Well, that's news to me. I thought he was a junior.
let me just double check. But yeah, he's listed as a senior.
Okay. Well, right. So that is going to be a real interesting thing to look at.
Unless he may have a COVID year, because he started his career during the COVID. So he may have one more year. But yes, there will be a lot of turnover going into next year.
Yeah. And don't forget about Miles. Does Miles grow and become a dominant player in the Atlantic 10? I mean, how great would that be?
Yeah. I mean, if he could have a trajectory like Daron Holmes has at Dayton, I would be ecstatic.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It'd be awesome. One thing we didn't mention Sheldon Edwards this year. So one question mark, I know we're at the end of the show, is where does he fit in the mix?
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'll be curious to see.
Because at the end of the year, he was a bright spot.
Yeah. So, and you know, it's a long season, so there's going to be room for some of these guys. There might be some injuries. I know Dawson was on the bench for the exhibition game. Right. So it seems like, you know, we're going to need him, especially if we get into some of these battles with these Atlantic 10 teams. So I'd love it if he could score 20 off the bench again, like he did for Valpo.
Yeah, that'd be nice if he came and did that a number of occasions. But all right, Dabber, we gotta bring it home. Hit the cue. How dare you? He's in there, Driscoll.
What the heck? How did that? How did that
get in there?
How did we get on that sample there?
I don't know.
Okay, here we go.
And excited for what this year could bring. Who's going to show up? You never know. Lou can make his return. Hopefully we don't see too much of him because of the losses. Wolfpack Jimmy in the squad.
Did someone mention my name?
Oh, man, I thought I was going to get away without
nothing. Oh, you can't get away. You can't get rid of me that easy.
Wolfpack, or you know, Lou, it's good to hear from you, the Dark Lord. I pray we don't hear from you much this season because we're playing so well.
All right.
Well, Dabber, when we get back together next time, hopefully we'll have two wins under our belt, and we'll be excited for what comes after that, which will be UIC.
Until then, go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers.